Berylum Sports.
Hello again and welcome to Berylum Sport Podcasting. Everybody knows who's listened to Berylum Sport over the years. I am a massive, massive fan of NFL. It's 4 weeks into the surreal season in the year 2020. Everything's surreal in 2020, but I'm delighted that there is football on the way. And now I'm equally as delighted to be enjoying a chat about the NFL and learning more about virtual football and the impressive record that the Hertfordshire Cheetahs have in that with Andy Dickens, one of the head coaches at the aforementioned Cheetahs. Andy, welcome back to Berylum Sport. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Tony. I think as I was saying, anyone who's kind of got a job and touch with healthy in this year's, I think is doing well. I appreciate it. It's not the same for everybody else out there.
As I say, you count those blessings. It's a challenging time for us all, Andy, but it's always great to be talking to you. One of the great things about the NFL is it is one of the most challenging and kind of ever-changing leagues in all of sports. That's one of the reasons that once you kind of get into it, you just fall in love with the NFL. And I urge everybody listening to do just that. Pick a team and follow them. I guarantee it, you will not regret that decision. But we are four matches in, a quarter of the way through, if you would, of the regular season. And lots to unpack, of course. Six teams remain unbeaten. Seattle Seahawks, Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers looking impressive. Kansas City Chiefs, defending champs. Mahomes, likewise, going through those motions, looking majestic as always. Buffalo Bills impressing as well in the AFC East. And Steelers and Titans, they're making up that six who are still yet to taste defeat. Of those six teams just listed there, Andy, who has impressed you the most? Who have you been most impressed with of the unbeaten teams at this moment?
Well, I think the Kansas City Chiefs remain the team to beat. They've just got so much speed and weapons on offense. Mahomes is phenomenal, and the way Andy Reid's kind of Eric Bieniemy scheme them, they're just so hard to defend, particularly around the goal line. I think I saw a stat the other day that Mahomes has scored on 50% of his drives that he started with inside his own 10-yard line in the NFL, and that would just be unheard of a few years ago. So he's kind of really rewriting what the kind of expectation is for offense in the league. But I think perhaps the most impressive or surprising team is the Buffalo Bills,
yeah,
and the leap Josh Allen's made at quarterback. He was quite a divisive draft prospect. He had undoubtedly had the arm and the athletic talent, but there was big questions about his kind of decision making, his accuracy, and the Bills have looked a very well coached team on defense and really well constructed by McDermott and Brandon Bean. But the real question coming into the season was whether he could make that leap, and he seems to have made an astronomical one, which makes them a really interesting team.
Third season, and he's really coming into the straps now. You made a brilliant point about him there, because again, I think his pass completion record over his first two seasons in the NFL was around about the 56% mark. And that was kind of his benchmark in his college days, as you say. No doubt about his athleticism and his kind of prowess and his match winning abilities. But those kind of core consistencies and accuracy was always a question mark. One of the few players to have improved that radically, I think it's up around about the 75% ratio this year. Would you attribute that down to individual hard work and application, or really good coaching there from the Bills?
I think coaching plays a massive part of it. And if you look on the flip side of that, and Sam Darnold, who's at the New York Jets, yeah, who gains appears to have that same athletic ability, had the same issues, bad issues with turning the ball over in college. And that seems to have not really improved in the NFL. But I think there's a lot of question marks over the kind of coaching of Adam Gase there, both his record at the Miami Dolphins as head coach before and the New York Jets, and whatever he's doing there doesn't seem to be kind of driving those improvements in players. And I think it's the one thing for draft prospects coming out of college, they don't get to choose their situation.
Indeed.
And I think it's been shown over and over again that the quality of coaching is really so important.
It really is, you know, such a vital element of American football. No questions about it. Another of those unbeaten teams there, though. And again, it is about the team. But goodness me, Russell Wilson at the Seahawks on pace for an MVP caliber year. And another one of those guys who has always got it done. A great career already, of course, has a Super Bowl ring, but never yet an MVP. His 16th TD pass at the weekend matched the legendary Peyton Manning's record of 16 for a four-week span. That'll just give you an idea of the kind of season he's having at the moment. Has this been a kind of pivot in coaching philosophy for the Seahawks? They've always been renowned for such a strong running game, and it seems this year they've kind of had the faith to make it Wilson's team and do your thing. Is that over-egging it a touch, or would you say fair assessment?
I think that's a completely fair assessment. I think it's the let Russ cook slogan, yes, that's been bandied out there, isn't it? And I think Pete Carroll's philosophy has been very much to play really good defense and run the ball. And I think what we've seen very much this year is that allowance of Russell Wilson to kind of play a much more expansive game. And I think sort of the emergence of DJ Metcalf as wide receiver and having a true number one wide receiver has kind of allowed them to do that. And I think they're reaping the dividends of that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fascinating to track the trajectory of all of these teams as they, at the moment, remain unbeaten. Of course, the Steelers always challenging, and Tennessee Titans impressing so far. Only played three I think suffered a little bit with CV-19 cases, meaning that their season and the Steelers as well going to be even more condensed. A very condensed campaign, but both of those teams, Steelers and Titans, we're talking coaches. I think the coaching staff at both those outfits is so instrumental and kind of in why they've maintained consistency. And again, they're very strong and true to their identity and their footballing philosophies at both of those clubs, it seems to me.
Absolutely, and I think you have to say the coaching job done by Mike Tomlin last year, yeah, once that having lost Ben Roethlisberger for the season, down with kind of Duck Hodges and some of the quarterback play that was very limited to say the least. I think that what they've managed to do and the quality they have on their defense now is one of the strongest in the league, and to only just miss the playoffs last year speaks volumes. And I think if you watch the Hard Knocks when Mike Vrabel was with the Houston Texans, was just an assistant coach there, and how kind of players looked to him for kind of leadership or motivation and stuff. I mean, I think there was very much a sense that he was a head coach in the waiting. And I think as you said, that kind of emergence has really allowed Tennessee to make that kind of leap, really. And obviously what Ryan Tannehill has produced from you know, seemingly being destined to be a kind of career backup after falling out of Miami, to kind of taking that starting job has been quite exciting. And I have to say, I love watching Derrick Henry and the speed and size of him, and the problems he creates for defenses is something to watch and behold, really.
It does help when you have a stud running back like that doing the business, doesn't it? Goodness me. So many things to discuss, obviously, the NFL now into week 5 coming up. I'm going to advocate the devil here just slightly, Andy, because I love the NFL and I think it's getting ever more explosive. We'll talk momentarily about Dak Prescott's crazy good numbers. We referenced already Russell Wilson's 16 TD passes through 4 games. I'm going to say this much, though. Whilst I think that's really positive and I genuinely love it, I think the league are being a little bit too lenient these days with pass interference from a wide receiver and an offensive perspective. And I think at the moment, a cornerback or a safety seems to just have to look harshly at a wide receiver to draw a flag. I'm laying it on a little thick there, but it just seems that it has a little counterbalance, and maybe the wideouts are getting a bit more license to push off and things of that nature. Maybe I'm a bit traditional. Maybe I'm a bit old school. I like to see a little bit more of a fair game in the wide out quarterback battle. Just my thoughts, your take on that.
Well, as somebody who's played the majority of their football playing on the defensive side of the ball, I'd love to agree with you. I think maybe for me, what's the more noticeable aspect of it this year in terms of the officiating is the how the big reduction in holding calls on the line. There's been a noticeable, I think, effort really for the entertainment to call less of them on officiating. I think. There was one team that had their first holding call of the year, penalty of the year the other year. And I think that has been this really significant thing that's thrown a massive advantage to the offence. And the other, I suppose the other interesting thing about it is with the condensed off-season is what you'd normally find is that defence dominate. You would have expected defence to dominate the early part of the year. And then offence to catch up because obviously the offence requires much more reliance on timing, etc. between kind of quarterback and receivers. But really, it's been the other way around. I think you can really only look at maybe the six or seven teams in the league, some of the ones you've mentioned that really actually look kind of solid on defence, hence some of the wild numbers that and scores that have been put up really over the last few weeks.
Great points there. And again, as I say, I'm always going to be a fan of kind of old style smash mouth football and what have you. But there is something to be said for the flashy, explosive nature that is characterising the NFL these days. I don't want to spend too much time kind of going into detail on this, but as always, the beauty of the NFL is that there's so many parities. And, you know, we mentioned those six unbeaten teams, but there's been so many games which could have gone either way always. But generally speaking, Andy, talk to me about the stink house that is the NFC East. I mean, there's going to be a playoff team from this. And you know, I know the Eagles beat my Niners on Monday at the weekend. But really, 1-3 and a tie there. Cowboys, Dak Prescott's awesome numbers notwithstanding. You know, this is an absolutely stink of a league. And there's going to be a playoff representative there. Just your thoughts briefly on the NFC East. The NFC East.
I think he summarised it pretty well, actually. I think currently the Washington Redskins are top of it with a 1-3 record. It is undoubtedly the weakest league in football, and no doubt it will probably open up the debate again about how the playoffs are decided and whether really the winner of that conference is deserving of a home playoff game.
Yes, well, as I say, lots to be said for that, but it is what it is, as they say. Got to talk briefly though on the Cowboys again, defensively, just looking like atrocious, quite frankly, but you know they got that fair dues in terms of will and fight back quality, a bit of a bizarro one against the Saints, but overall defensively really looking awful. But my goodness me, you have to give credit to their offense, and Dak Prescott's numbers, like I say, they're off the charts. He clocked up 502 pass yards in their loss last week. In NFL history, he stands alone now as the only player to clock up 450 pass yards in three straight games. And his pass yards this season across a four-game span, 1,690. I repeat that, 1,690 pass yards for QB Dak Prescott. Nobody can fault him and the offensive efforts in their endeavours so far this season. But there's only so far you can do that. And they're almost being forced into this style of offense. Your thoughts on the Cowboys, and will there be question marks over McCarthy there?
Well, I think there has to be. I think the biggest question actually is that he appointed Mike Nolan as their defensive coordinator, who is a bit of a coach from a bygone era. I think Mike McCarthy worked on Mike Nolan's staff when he was at the San Francisco 49ers. And I think there's already kind of murmurings, as you said, coming out of there about the defense being too complicated. They lost their best linebacker, Leighton Van Der Esch. And I think you can see the rest of the defense is struggling as a result, particularly at the kind of back end. And as you said, Dak Prescott's on to put, I don't think anyone's gone over 5,000 passing yards at his current pace. I think Dak Prescott's, I think I read somewhere, is close to getting up to 6,500. And the other thing to mention with the Cowboys is they've yet to actually lock him up to a long-term deal. So he's currently playing on the franchise tag and seeing his market value, you know, rise, and they're already quite heavily up against the cap. And there was a lot of moves in the offseason, wasn't there, not to fully commit to him. They brought in Andy Dalton, who's obviously a long-term starter with the Bengals as a backup. So I think there's going to be some interesting off-season questions, and no doubt Jerry Jones is never short of their owner's never short of publicity. And I think there's going to be some pressure building on McCarthy and rightly so, really, for that appointment.
One man who's already hit the chop is Bill O'Brien, after a fascinating run with the Texans. It was your Vikes getting their first W of the season over the Texans, which proved to be the chopping block, I guess, for Bill O'Brien. I know, obviously, Andy, that you are a Vikings fan. Overall, that was a decent win, and it's good to see that Delvin Cook getting the numbers done again. And if you can get him running, you're always going to be a match for anybody in the league.
Yeah, and I think the offense under Gary Kubiak's come alive. You could see some of the zone blocking concepts going, and as you said, I think Delvin Cook's up there as one of the very best running backs in the league. And once he's able to run, I think it allows the offense to play some of the play action stuff that Kirk Cousins thrives in and seems to produce much better performances when we're able to do that. I think obviously the question for the Vikings and where the pressure is going to come on Mike Zimmer is that we are still struggling on defense and nearly blew quite a handy lead in the fourth quarter and particularly at the back end in the secondary, we seem to be struggling.
Doesn't get any easier for you though, does it? This coming week, Monday Night Football, away at the aforementioned on fire Seattle Seahawks. But momentum's a powerful thing. You have that first win. Andy, your thoughts, obviously, as a Viking fan, ahead of this landmark fixture on Monday Night Football?
Well, I think, as I alluded to, having watched our young secondary over the recent weeks, I can't see Pete Carroll reverting to the and Russell Wilson reverting to the running game for this fixture. I think the reality is it's going to be a very tough ask. We've not got a particularly good record against the Seahawks, which is a shame given a lot of my friends seem to support them. I think I can't really see anything other than a kind of Seattle win on this one, unfortunately.
You know what? I'm going to just throw it out there. At the end of the day, we do say it every season, don't we? And it's just one of the most beautiful and true sporting cliches any given Sunday. Granted, this is Monday Night Football. And Russell Wilson, of course, on fire. We've referenced the Seahawks. They are 4-0. But they're going to lose in this season, almost certainly. And as impressive as they've been, Wilson and his men, can't do anything sat on the bench. I'm telling you, just run, Cook, and run down the clock, dominate time of possession, and eke out a narrow win. I'm going to say, I'm going to back in the Vikes with a win coming in on momentum. Run, Cook, dominate the clock, get a win. Just throwing it out there.
I'll be very happy to be wrong on this one. So let's hope. And as you kind of alluded to, actually, the Titans are 3-0, but they've not won a single game by more than 7 points. And I think that's part of the beauty of the NFL is that kind of parity in the league, as you said, and the games are close. And actually, it's often teams' abilities to win close games that decides who goes to the playoffs and who goes home, so to speak.
The man who could maybe write the book over that in recent time, indeed, maybe all time, Tom Brady. People were quick to write him off after their opening day defeat against the Saints. But he's improving. At the weekend, had 5 touchdown passes. That was his first 5 TD game since 2017 against the Texans. And also, aged 43 and 62 days, he surpasses another NFL legend in Warren Moon as the oldest QB to throw for 5 TD passes in a game. Bucks improving. They top the NFC South with a record of played for, 1-3, lost 1. Obviously, so much written and discussed about the apparently, quote-unquote, GOAT in Brady. You're foolish to write him off. But I've got to ask you, Andy, are the Bucks the real deal?
I think they very well could be, because I think they're 3-1 with a huge amount they can improve on. I think the offense actually still, I think Tom Brady still struggling to find some chemistry with people like Mike Evans. There was obviously the interception on week one where they were completely on a different page. Mm-hmm. But obviously you saw this week coming into the game much more. And I think actually he's probably the perfect QB for that situation. When everybody's fit, they've got incredible talent with kind of Godwin, Mike Evans and receiving options. They've got a huge amount of talent on their defense. So if you look at the defensive line, they've got four incredible players there, lots of pass rush. And I think David and White, their linebackers are really two special mm-hmm. players and probably the best pairing in that position in the NFL. And I think sort of Bruce Arians alluded to it the weekend, isn't it? It's the sort of game with Jameis Winston last year where they would have turned over the ball and they'd have, as he said, would have it was a game they would have lost. I think he said it slightly less politely than mm-hmm. I just have, but it's the kind of game they would have lost. And what Brady does give them is that experience and that ability to make good decisions down the field and not turn the ball over. And that's the sort of close game that they end up winning. The other thing that was quite interesting as well is early part of the season, it was very much a Tom Brady offense with the kind of dink and dunk, mm-hmm. short passing. But actually what you did see on Sunday is them actually going down the field, and showing at 43 years old, he's still very much got an arm in order to is able to do that. So, which is really quite impressive.
He seriously never ceases to astonish me. Say what you might about him, he is a winner to his very bootstraps. Another winner is Lamar Jackson. And they bounce back, I think, very importantly. They were, I think, overawed and over-dominated across all phases of play against the ever-impressive Chiefs the week before. But they really looked imperious. Jackson himself scoring on a 49-yard scramble. And they dominated the Washington football team 31-17. Important bounce back for Jackson and the Ravens. And obviously, they did look outclassed against the Chiefs. Is that psychological? And do you think they can get over that hurdle and be a real contender come the end of this season?
Well, it was an interesting, wasn't it? Because I think a lot of people were tipping Baltimore who'd looked really impressive in the early part of the season. But I think, as you said, I think actually every team across the 16-game schedule is going to have one bad game. I think Kansas City Chiefs did expose some elements of that, and I think there's a question mark, isn't it? It was probably Lamar Jackson's one of his kind of poorest games as a professional, but I think Baltimore are very much going to be in there when there or thereabouts when it comes to the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. We're still early doors, relatively speaking, only four matches in. Looking ahead briefly to week five, just want to get your thoughts on one of the standout matches for me this coming weekend. Two unbeaten teams collide, barring a tie, which is very rare. Somebody's O's got to go. The 4-0 Bills collide against the Titans. Who do you make favourites in that one?
I think you'd probably have to say the Bills on this one. So I think, as I kind of alluded to earlier, I think some of the Titans games have been kind of close wins by 7 points. Mm-hmm. They could have very well lost to the Vikings, as I sort of painfully watched on a last minute field goal. I think the way Josh Allen's playing, and again, as painful as it to admit, Stephon Diggs coming over from from the Vikings has really given, and some of their other wide receiver acquisitions, so John Brown and Cole Beasley, I think they gives their attack a real dynamic, and I do think they've got the kind of defense, and particularly up front, to potentially shut down Tennessee's run game, which I think then if they can take that away from the Titans, then I think that makes their offense a little bit more limited.
Super quick question. Who is the worst team in New York?
Perhaps the most difficult question you've asked me today. I personally think probably it's the Jets. They just look really short of talent wherever you look. I'm not sure I can name a kind of unit that I kind of think is a particular strength. I think obviously for the Giants, the loss of Saquon Barkley's been huge, but you've got a coaching staff in its first year there. Mm-hmm. And a young quarterback, albeit there's already questions about Daniel Jones coming in, but I guess in a tough media environment where there's a lot of criticism from fans and the press, they are two really quite poor teams, it has to be honest. Yeah,
neither of the two New York teams, the Giants or the Jets, yet to register a win. That could change though this week. The Giants 0-4 collide against the erratic 1-3 Cowboys. We've already discussed a little bit the Cowboys in tonight's conversation. Would you make them favourites in a game which is in that impressive NFC East?
Well, I guess Cowboys have to be favourite. At least they've shown the ability to play some offence. And whereas I think New York, the Giants haven't really shown the ability to either stop anyone or kind of play offence. And I have to think that the Cowboys have got far too much talent, really, not to get this ship kind of right at some point. And I think this may be the right opponent at the right time to kind of bounce back.
Excellent stuff. Another team trending up. Impressed by Cleveland Browns at the weekends. Much written about Baker Mayfield, but, you know, again, looked quite mature. But losing Chubb early in the piece, the running back, and still almost finding running backs that were previously in practice squads and just getting it done. Beckham himself, Odell Beckham Jr., really came to the party big too. There's a lot of fundamentals there that look quite right. I think the Browns are one of those teams that nobody in football would really like to face at the moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I think that you can't begrudge their fans it. I think it must be the most long-suffering fan base in football, and the sort of level of dysfunction and turnover of coaches, players they've had in that organisation for a long time. But I think they may have finally found the right coach in Kevin Stefanski, who moved over from the Vikings and was very highly regarded there. And the honest answer is, I don't think necessarily Baker Mayfield's the story. I think it's probably doing him a slight disrespect, but it's almost been a kind of game management role. Mm. And players, some of their wide receivers, so Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr. finally had the game that everybody was, and the sort of game that everybody was expecting from him, where they gave up a first round draft pick for him and looked back to the kind of really exciting, dynamic player he was in the first couple of years in the league. And even on their defense, I think defensive line's been really strong. Miles Garrett's had his, has a kind of strip sack in the last two games. It's the Denzel Ward at the back end looked really strong, so I really think they could be a real contender come the end of the year.
You know, another team I think is trending upwards as well, also in the AFC, very impressed defensively by the Indianapolis Colts. You know, I just think they've got a scary good, consistent core of players right across all levels of their defense, and in Phillip Rivers, they've got a man that can firepower you through to a win if required. They're 3-1 at the moment, and as I say, I think they're a team trending up. Briefly, your thoughts on the Colts?
Well, they're a very well constructed team. I think Chris Ballard, I think, is an excellent GM. I think Eagles fans are starting to see firsthand how much they miss Frank Reich and the role he played in that Super Bowl win, and might have well very much been the architect of that. So I think they're very well coached, very well constructed. I think they're, as you said, I think their defense is very strong. I think they're starting to get some pieces on offense. I think Josh Jacobs looks kind of promising, but I think it's they've got a young running back who's looking at, but he's just obviously making occasionally some kind of rookie mistakes in terms of difficulty spotting the hole. I think probably their one fatal flaw, and it's shown in the past few weeks, is their kind of red zone offense. So mm-hmm. they've really kind of struggled when they've got in that kind of within 20 yards to kind of punch it in, and have been forced on occasions to kind of kick field goals.
I think the running back you were thinking about there was Jonathan Taylor, but they've got a kind of running back by committee style. Yep. And, you know, and I'm striking the way they're trending. But so many things still to emerge. It's still relatively early going, only four games in to this season. Obviously, Andy, this season is in many ways a write-off from the Hertfordshire Cheetahs perspective. Although 10-0 in virtual football. And I think a big virtual football playoff game kicking in this weekend. First of all, reminders about exactly what virtual football is and how we can get involved.
So, as I said, there's a great Facebook site called UK American Football Scene. I would urge anyone to check out. They promote the British game of American football in a really kind of positive way. And what they've tried to lay on for teams is, because we can't play the game this play any games this year, is obviously to lay out. It's gone through the incomplete set of fixtures that every team would have played, and encouraging people to vote for a particular team. So you can vote for your own team. The team with the most votes wins the game.
And that's effectively your score.
really fortunate to come 10-0. So this Sunday is a quarter final. So we're there. We're playing a team called, put up against a team called the Northumberland Vikings. So as I said, I'd urge anyone who wanted to support their local team, go onto UK American Football Scene, the Facebook page, and if you could give us a vote, that would be great. And as I said, if we can't win a championship on the field this year, I guess we'll take a virtual bowl as the next best thing.
The important thing, though, and we kind of say it in jest, but seriously, I think this is actually quite important because, you know, American football in this country, it's never going to be football. It's never going to be rugby and things of that nature. But my word, it is growing. And you guys at the Hertfordshire Cheetahs, we've really enjoyed getting to know over the years, because here in our little neck of the woods, you really are great ambassadors for the sport. But it's so, so important to keep that momentum going in any way, shape or form. And I think it's very innovative to at least keep these kind of people engaged. So I do give massive respect and credit to everybody. And again, Andy, big fixture this weekend in the world of virtual football. Remind us how we can lend our support to the mighty Hertfordshire Cheetahs.
As I said, if you go onto the go onto Facebook, look for a site called UK American Football Scene. As I said, they're fantastic ambassadors for the sport. Once you register, this coming Sunday, they put up a set of fixtures, and you can vote for different teams and for a range of fixtures. And obviously, if you look for our fixture versus the Northumberland Vikings, and just click on the vote, that will be a 1 point for us.
Hey, get in and get involved. Andy, as we've discussed, there is no real games actually on the gridiron this season, but I know big things planned for the Cheetahs. So we discussed moving across to Watford and, you know, integrating the Tornadoes into just the Cheetahs brand, so the males and the females. Plus, you guys have so many important other things, flag football and a very, very impressive junior setup. For us to learn more about the Cheetahs, to engage and get involved with your practice sessions coming up, how can we do just that? What's the best website? And I know you're active, very active on social media. Best ways to engage online?
Yes. So the first thing to say is we have resumed a form of training. We're not into kind of contact training yet, but it's a perfect chance to come along. And we've obviously put as many sort of safety precautions in as we can to try and make our training as safe as possible in the current circumstances. So if you'd like to come along and try it, you can email heartscheatersrecruitment@gmail.com. So that's heartscheatersrecruitment@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Hertfordshire Cheetahs AFC, and we're on Instagram and Twitter as well, which is the handle is @heartscheatahs.
Perfect. Get involved. Honestly, the Cheetahs do wonderful things for the great game of American football in our area, and they are just genuinely lovely guys to boot. They'll make you feel very welcome. Get involved. Andy, really, as always, value your time. I look forward to picking things up with you in around about another month's time. We'll see if any of these trends continue or if things get shaken up, as is the want of the NFL, and is one of the reasons why we love it. But for now, thanks again for your time. Keep well, keep safe, and I'm wishing all the very best to you and everybody at Family Cheetahs. Thanks again.
Thanks very much, Tony. Appreciate your support.